at apples. What, you know, one day, one moment in my childhood, I got suspended from school. I know, it's a real stretch. And actually, it was Shelly and I. We got suspended for 3 days. And our punishment was, you know, there's certain kids that whooping them just don't do nothing. I mean, it just don't do anything. And everybody that's like, well, you can't whip kids. Well, I won't go into that. But I know you. I got to be careful everything I say because people send me their little criticisms after the message. Well, I don't want them criticisms because, you know what, I can't watch everything I say because I'm a human. But, Tom, our punishment was we got to be on the back of the four-wheeler for 3 days, and we were planting what I think was Bermuda grass. Am I right? Was it Bermuda grass? Anyways, and at the end of the 3 days, he was like, don't you ever get suspended again. It was 10 acres. 10 acres worth of Bermuda grass, okay? That was not easy. And so guess what came up? Bermuda grass. It's amazing how when you plant something, you're going to get that thing that you planted. A dog is not going to have a litter of kittens, all right? I know, it's a shame. So where am I going with this? There's certain fruits that a believer is going to have. The Word of God says that you will know them by the fruit that they bear. And everybody is bearing some type of fruit. Everybody is have some type of display about who they really are, about what their life really is. And so I want to talk to you about that this morning because one of the fruits that you should bear is a sign and an obvious evidence that you've got the power of God going through your life, the anointing of God on your life. And we all have that. Some of us need to tap into it. Mark chapter 16, we're going to look at verse 17 here. And it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Amen. These signs will follow those who believe. Who believe. Now, if I lay my hands on somebody and I don't believe that after I pray, they can be healed, then I shouldn't even bother. Okay? You need to believe what you're asking God for. How many of you have ever been mid-sentence in a prayer and you started praying for something and then you started doubting at the same time? You ever done that? You need to stop that prayer right then and there and you need to start praying about your doubt and unbelief because you got to get that addressed. But there's signs that will follow the believer. And we're going to talk about those today because one of the main signs that there is power. Power. I was sitting in a meeting this week where I sit on the board of this place and it wasn't here for all the nosy folks. Now I hope I can kid with you because if your pastor can't kid with you, you're too uptight. Amen? We got to be able to kid here and have a little bit of fun. I was sitting on this board, Carolyn, and the more I heard, the more I felt sorry for them. And I walked out of there saying, well, I can do this, this, and this, and this to try to help them. And when I did that, I began to realize just how much power and authority that God's given just one little person. And what would happen if all the believers would just realize in their heart and in their mind just how powerful of people that they were? Because God's given you power here this morning. And it says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. A lot of people, that would just spook them. I'm going to have to get everybody's attention. I don't know. Are y'all sleeping this morning? All right. I'm going to get all up in your business. How many of you would spook you if we just said, okay, we're going to cast a demon out today? Are you spooked? Okay. Well, a while back, Brother Larry's like, nope. Look here, I grew up with that stuff. It wasn't, I mean, we were in church every time the doors were open. We have seen some stuff, and I'm glad of the stuff that we've seen because there's some of it. There's people like me, we would not have believed in certain things if I wouldn't have just seen them for my eyes. But there was a while back, We had a guy come to church and love this person, and he felt like he was demon-possessed, and he began to do some things in church. And Frank's Catholic, okay? This is an interdenominational church, and I'm sitting here by Frank, and it's so funny. Catholic people are hilarious. I love Catholics. Don't ever think I don't love them because I'm married to one. And here's me, and here's Frank, and this guy starts yelling on his stuff, and Frank starts getting real nervous, and he goes, "Kelly, I think that there's a devil in that guy. The devil wants to come out. Okay? What are we going to do about him?" And I said, "Frank, this is Dad's service. Dad can do whatever he wants to do with that demon. Okay? But you need to get yourself to where your belief system lines up with the Word of God. There's too many believers, and they're very loosey-goosey, and they don't know what they stand for. They don't really have any firm morals. And so every little trend that comes in the world, they're going for that, and then they get, like, just snatched up out of church because they don't know really what they stand for. And so, anyways, align what you believe in. See if it goes along with the Word is all I'm trying to say. But it says, in my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. This is the part of the verse that I love. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. God's given you a lot of power. How do we know that? He trusts you with sick people. He trusts you with that. He tells you, lay your hands on them, because, see, if you're a believer, it's not just the pastor. I don't think for just a second that I've got all the answers and can fill all the roles of the whole church. Nor do I want to. I remember in the pandemic, back when they would have just a very restricted amount of people able to go to the funerals. And a lot of people did not get to go to the funerals of their loved ones, and that was devastating for them. And I remember when they opened it back up, and I did a funeral, and the whole place, there was standing room only in the place. And this was back when, how many of you, there was a certain point in the pandemic, there was a certain amount of fear there. You were like, I had never even heard the word pandemic. I was like, what? This is like the flu. This will leave in like 2 weeks. We'll be good. Well, it didn't. So I remember being in this funeral, and everybody was crying. And everybody's hurting, and they're grieving. And then I get up there as it's going, and I said, I remember, and this is the first year I pastored, and I said, God, I don't know what to do but to hug every one of these people and shake their hands or whatever it is that they're going to want to do, but this is what you do at a funeral. This is what a pastor does. And so, God, you're just going to have to protect me because I'm not going to be intimidated by the COVID. You've either anointed me or you haven't. Well, I hugged about 300 people, kissed them, hugged them, shook their hand, cried with them, all of that. We mixed all of our germs all together. And wouldn't you know, I didn't get COVID. Now, am I saying be dumb? No. I'm one of the most cautious people I know when it comes to sickness and stuff like that. But I'm only going to let that go a certain way. Because at the end of the day, God's either with me or he's not, but he's with me. But it says that you can lay your hands on the sick people and they'll be healed. Go with me now to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I always think what a beautiful sound that is when you begin to hear the pages of the Word of God begin to shift in people's Bibles. There's just nothing quite like it. Luke chapter 10, we're going to look in verse 19. And it says, I have given you authority. I have given you power. Thank you, God. Now there's times in your life where you get messed up. How many have ever made a mistake?
Amen.
One that embarrassed you.
Yeah.
One that you just pray to God, nobody ever finds out the real truth about what exactly it is you did. Okay? I get it. I've got a list of those, and I'm like, oh, my God. Please, Lord, don't let anybody find that one out. We all got that. And what happens with the believer, there's times where the devil comes in through condemnation, and he makes you feel like you can't have certain things that God already gave you because you've done that. There's things that we've all done, and see, the Word of God, it says now we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that tells you that every single person, and it don't matter how perfect that they act, everybody has done some things that we're not proud of. And if I could ever get people to see that, you know what, God's not done with you after you've sinned. God's not done with you after you've had a divorce. God's not done with you after you've, robbed the bank. God's not done with you after you've done something that the whole town knows about and now you're embarrassed to show your face. God's not done with the person that has something, a little tab of stuff that they've done, because see, what we all need to realize is that we've all got that tab. It may be different, got different little things on there, but we've all got a tab that we could never have paid. Jesus paid it. So it says, I have given you authority. It's never something of a matter of you could have earned it. Bobby, we could not earn the power that God gave us. We could have never been good enough to receive it. And it's not even a matter of that. When I'm raising my boys, I've been very careful to not say certain phrases like, well, if you're good enough. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there's times where I just haven't been good enough. And what I didn't see as God the Father treating me is that way. God always sees us as enough. Does He want to come in and change your life and turn it around for the better? Absolutely. But when He's looking at you, He's not seeing somebody that just disgusts Him. He's not seeing the thing that you did that you hope nobody knows about. God's seeing somebody that He's very proud of. And so it says here, I have given you authority. I have given you power to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. That's a promise. And that's a statement. I've given you power to overcome. The thing that you're trying to overcome right now, God already gave you the power to do it. You have everything that you need to overcome what you're going through. Any place where you have come up short, God has already added the difference. How many of your kids, they ever wanted to go to Walmart and they wanted to spend their money?
Yeah.
Yep. They're about $10 or $12 over every time. And the lady's like, it's $27.52 and Carson's wanting the $17.52. And he's looking at me. And I'm like, at some point I need to teach this kid some responsibility, but it's not going to be today. I'm a pushover. But God's given you the power to overcome. He's given you the power to be an overcomer. And then He also gives us a promise. It says, and the power to overcome all the power of the enemy. And nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. A lot of bad decisions are made by the believer because we feel like something is going to harm us, and so we make a dumb choice over here. Out of fear. Some of our worst mistakes and our dumbest things that we do happened out of a fear of what was going to happen if we didn't react in some way. Look here, you'd be better not to do anything as than to make a decision and it be the wrong one. The believer needs to learn how to just be still until God makes his move, until he shows you what you're supposed to do. But the word says that he has given you power to overcome everything that the devil has in store for you. And then he promises that nothing will harm you. So when it looks bad in your life, when something's going on, and you want to live in fear, what you're going to have to do is make that decision to say, you know what? I'm going to choose to not live in fear, and that's going to be hard for me right off the bat. But Lord, in Jesus' name, your word says that you're not going to allow anything to harm me. So God, I give it to you. Every fear that I have about this situation, I'm rolling it over to you. God, it's on you now. Lord, I'm going to be the person of faith that you've called me to be. God, there's a problem at my job, and I'm worried about it. But God, I'm going to choose to just hand it over to you. And God, at the end of the day, I know that you're not going to allow something to harm me. See, there's times where you're holding on to something so tightly because you feel like that's just the best you can do. And really, what God has to do with that person at times is he has to take that thing that we've got such a grasp on, and he has to put something different in your hands that you never even thought you could have. And sometimes that is scary. But God's never going to take something from you without giving you something so much better. And most of the time, we grieve over and we mourn over what we lost. When a lot of times, what we lost ain't nothing even compared to what God put in its place. Amen. Amen. Can you let God put something new in your life and just say, God, thank you because this was better for me. God, yeah, there was a part of me. See, you're either going to allow him to increase and you're going to decrease, or you're going to have your life lopsided. You'll have your life lopsided. But the word says that God has given you the power to overcome. And he promised you he's not going to let anything harm you. Go with me now to John chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 12 through 14. Yes. Thank you, God. And it says here, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I believe that when God inspired his word and it was written, I believe that God knew that society and humanity would have problems with truth. I see it all in the church worldwide. People have trouble with truth because one of the things that truth does is truth comes up and it tells you that you're wrong sometimes. Amen. And people don't want to be told that they're wrong anymore. And one of the things that I've dealt with the whole 5 years that I've pastored is being accused of not being loving when I've had to step in someone's life and tell them you're wrong. Now, I could get a violin and a guitar and some soaking music. Let me just see how it'll work right now. You're wrong, you sweet little child of God. You are so wrong, but I love you anyway. See, that don't go over with people either. Because the second I say you wrong, however I say it in the sweetest candy wrappered way, people ain't going to like that. In the word of God, it says, I tell you the truth. Yes. Truth The Word of God and its truth should be the main compass in your life. It will not steer you wrong. It doesn't have the ability to. The success rate when a person, when God can get a person to follow the Word of God, 100% success rate every time. Every time. If all my job was just to preach the Word, I would have the easiest job on the planet. That's not all the job. A lot of the job is the personnel. And y'all are great. John chapter 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. Anyone. Anyone. This is Jesus. And he's saying, I'm going to tell you the truth about something. Anyone who believes and anyone who has faith, they're going to do what I've been doing. What had he done up to that point? Miracles, healing people, all sorts of things. And he said, you can do the exact same thing. He didn't say, does anybody's Bible say only the pastors? Only the men? Only the people that are 50 plus years old. Anybody that has gold boots on at church, y'all all be out. Look here, if you think that I'm going to sit here and not wear something I like just to not offend you, you're going to have to get over yourself. Because life is very short to not be happy with what you're wearing. Okay? Cover your bits, but everything else is okay. That's my philosophy. Carson, he's 13. He's my son. And he'll tell me that the 9-year-old, he goes, are you really going to let him go out looking like that? And I'm like, I don't see a problem with that lanky box T-shirt. Why? Is it embarrassing you? But look here. Anyone. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes, anyone. God is never looking to discriminate against people. Now we, humanity, is always looking for that. And what we do a lot of in the church world, and I can say this because I've lived in it for 37 years. No, 39. Well, 37. I don't know how old I am anymore. Getting older. Almost 40. But people, if we're not careful, we'll get self-righteous. Don't act like you don't do it, because we all do. And we'll see one of our brothers or sisters in the Lord having a hard time or something happened to them. And we'll say, well, that happened to them because they did this, this, and this. Let me tell you something. You better zip it. Because you don't know what's going on with people. We just don't know. How many of you have got at least one person that you know that you just can't stand? This is a real honest church. We got people that we don't care for, okay? I've got them, you've got them, we've all got them. Kaylin, what I've learned to do is, as a believer, not as a pastor, because, see, I have to take that pastor hat off to just be a child of God also. And I've learned to just say, you know what, God? I don't know why this person's so hateful. I don't know why they don't like me. But, God, I'm asking you to bless them. God, I'm asking you to help them. Lord, I can see with my natural eyes that they're going through something that's very difficult for them. God, help them. See, God will give you the power to do things and say prayers for people that you don't like. Just got real quiet. I'll take that, amen. Well, pastor's gone to meddling. Well, you're darn right I have. Because we all got people we don't like. And guess what? they're probably put in your life to get you over it. Yesterday we were going up to, I'm just going to tell on myself. I'm not going to tell you the exact things that I said. They weren't good. We were going up to a soccer game for Carson. This is bad. This is really bad. I'm not going to tell the details because it would not make me look good. Mary, we got up to the soccer field. And I saw somebody's car there I don't like. Now, usually, I don't have such a problem. But these, I really don't like them. Oh, my God. We got to sit on the same. No, we're not telling what I actually said. We got to sit on the same ground. I didn't pass yesterday my test. I didn't have as much power of God flowing through me yesterday. Why am I telling on myself? Because if I can just get you to keep it real with yourself, you'll be on your way. If I'm teaching y'all that it's okay to just lie to yourself and condone everything that you're doing and all of that, we're all on the wrong track. But if I can challenge you to just be honest with yourself, we're going to all make it to heaven. We're going to do okay. If you're screwing up, you don't need to say, well, I'm okay because they did this to me. No, if they're screwing up, then they're screwing up, and then you are too by being the way that you're being. And you're not going to have as much power flowing in your life because, see, God don't like that kind of stuff. God don't like ugly. Thank you, Miss Sherry. So let me get back to the word. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Did you catch that part where it says, you know, yeah, you're going to be doing the things that you've seen me do. But because I'm going back to the Father, you're actually going to do greater things. Greater things. Greater things. Angel, I wholeheartedly believe that God could give this ministry the ability to feed more than 5,000 people at a time. Why do I believe that? Because, see, the Word of God says that. The Word of God says that we can do the same thing that we saw Jesus do, but then it also goes back and it says, we'll do greater. So what the believer needs to do is we need to look and read our Bible and see exactly what Jesus did and then get our hopes up a little higher than what we saw him doing. Because the Word says you can do greater. And it says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now let me tell you something. If you're a lazy Christian, you need to get unlazy. What does a lazy Christian look like? I'm going to explain it to you. Some of the characteristics. See, I want you to be a powerful believer. A lot of you are. A lazy Christian says phrases like, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. But he also wants you to pour your heart out to him. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A lot of times there's some ugliness up in your heart, and if you would begin to speak to God, you could see it because it would come out. What else do lazy believers do? Well, God knows what I need, so I don't have to pray it and tell it to him. He knows. Yes, he does know. The Word also says, you have not because you ask not. What if we only received, Lori, what we asked for? I'm going to say that one more time. I don't think a lot of us caught that. What if you only received what you asked for? Would you be in trouble? We'd be in trouble. When we started the Manna Center, that came under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I had pretty much, I don't even like to take 1 ounce of credit for it because I feel wrong in doing that. But I began to tell God, Lord, this Manna Center was not my idea. God, this was your idea. And God, whatever you order, God, you're under an obligation to pay for it. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear about money in church, and this isn't that message, but I'm not going to dance around it. Kaylin, I begin to tell God, Lord, I thank you that by the time that that contractor puts that key in my hand, God, I'm not sitting here stressing because it's a done deal because you did it.
Amen.
And God, in return, I will not take any of that credit. See, when you act that kind of way, God gives you a power that a lot of people don't have. You'll have what you ask for. Now, don't go asking for somebody else's house and them to be homeless, because, see, God ain't going to work like that either. Don't forget about that part where line yourself up with the Word. Line yourself up with the Word of God. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to look at chapter 18, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 20. I always laugh at people when they, I like to get to know somebody before I even tell them I'm a pastor, which is hard to do in a small town, because I have learned people, when they just plop down and sit by you, they'll just tell you all their business. So usually that's just what I let people do. Plop down and tell me. And the moment, that I tell them I'm a pastor. I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me in 5 years. I'll say, well, you know, I'm a pastor. You mean I've been done told all this stuff to a pastor? Yeah. And then they'll say, well, I'm not a religious person and I don't plan on going to church. And I always say, I'm not a religious person either. Because what I have seen is religion is a deterrent to who God is. Amen. If you think that you've got to look a certain way, have a certain last name, all of this stuff to be a child of God, that's just not true. And, you know, it was so weird. In praise and worship, I was sitting there and I was meditating. And I'm going to just speak to somebody that's in Facebook world right now. But I believe that somebody is going to watch this. And you've been out of church and you've been away from God because there was something that happened to you and it just gave you a bad taste in your mouth. And God's saying that's not who He is and you need to get back to Him.
Amen.
Because, see, God loves you. And He cares about what you're going through. Amen?
Amen?
I don't think Moni would mind me saying this. Moni and Jimmy have been some of the biggest blessings. And I remember Moni coming, you're not going to mind if I tell them.
Not at all.
After I've put you on the spot, you're not going to mind, are you? I see my dad do that to people for 30 years, and they're like, well, what are you going to say? I mean, yeah, that's going to bother me. Don't say it. Moni came in, and Moni is like my babysitter for Mondays. Anything I mess up with cooking for the elderly, she's going to fix it. And I'm always relieved when she gets there because, like, usually I've got a real problem by the time she gets here on Monday. But one day, has been a while back. I'm talking a while. Moni and I, we were kind of huddled up by the counter. And she said, I'm not a real religious person, and I'm not going to go to church. I didn't skip a beat. I said, Moni, I don't got a problem with that. Let me tell you something. One of the things that I think is the most grievous thing for God is to have people be ugly to other people in his defense. That is one of the worst things that a believer can do, is just flat out be ugly to people because they don't want nothing to do with whatever that you are. And let me tell you something. I grew up in the ministry. I've seen it in its best and I've seen it in its worst. And that gives me what I believe an edge on a lot of pastors, that they weren't raised in the ministry. And here's one thing that I know. I have learned from the very, very best. And he is still my pastor to this day. He's the founding pastor in this ministry. But one of the things, Jill, that I've never questioned is the power of God. One of the most powerful things that God uses for humanity is love.
That's right.
Is love. And people say, well, you know, how have you been so successful in the ministry? And I said, well, God has made me successful. But one of the things that I just try to do so much is just to love on people. And that always makes me laugh because people get on my nerves. I'm like, God, how am I supposed to love people that get on my nerves? Just don't go into public that day. Last week, I think I stayed home like 2 or 3 days. I said, Frank, I just don't want to go anywhere. Well, I was just going to let God pour into me. But here's one of the things that I know is that, you know what? God will do the drawing. He'll draw people. If you've got somebody against you and you'll choose to just walk in love, and it's one of the hardest things to do in this life, God will do the rest. And if you say, you know what, I don't have enough of the power of God in my life like I want to, I want you to look at that area in your life, and are you walking in the love that God has?
That's right.
And so he's talking about his power. And he goes on to tell us a key element of power. Matthew chapter 18, let's look at that one more time. It says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, you've got the power to either permit or prohibit. When I looked at what does this mean in the Word of God, there was three meanings of binding and loosing. To permit or to forbid. To permit or prohibit. To declare it forbidden or declare it allowed. You have that power. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. How many of you, the devil fought you tooth and nail just to make it to church this morning? Amen. I get it. You know, most of the time on Sunday mornings, I play one song. It's like a 13-minute song. And I listen to it over and over and over. And y'all need to Google it. It's on YouTube. And it's called I'm Gonna Wait on You. And some of the words, and it says, God, speak to my heart. Lord, speak to my ambition. God, speak to the depression. But almost every single Sunday before I step foot in this place, I have already bound up the spirit of depression that's tried to keep God's kids from coming.
Amen.
Amen. See, you have the power, and the Word of God says, hey, whatever you allow. But you also have the power to say no. I never believed in postpartum depression until I had kids. I thought that was just a great excuse to get away with everything. Now I realize that's actually menopause. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, now, lighten up. Lighten up. All the guys are going, yep. Yeah, she uses that one every day. Are we blessing Tom? Well, when I had Carson, for 2 years after I had Carson, I just suffered so bad with postpartum depression. And when I had Colton, I could feel that trying to come over me. And I remember one morning just setting it in my heart, and I just said, I don't allow this to come up over me. And I began to cast it down. See, you have the power over every type of spirit that wants to come and affect you, that wants to come and dwell up inside of you, that wants to come and wreck your household. You have that power. Now it says, again, I tell you the truth, that if two of you on earth agree about anything that you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. One of the most powerful things for the believer to do is simply agree. If two of you can get together and be in agreement, that sounds like a simple thing. Do you know how hard it is to just get two people to agree? I see this illustrated every Wednesday. I'm like, oh my gosh. By the time I make it to Wednesday night service, I feel like I need the biggest dose of Jesus because I've already like thought a million terrible things while working in the food distribution. But where two or more gather together, there I'll be right in the middle of them. There's power in people being united. Not a united front. That don't work. But truly united. You know how many times I've heard people say, well, I'd love to come to your church, Pastor Kelly, but I heard so-and-so goes there, so I ain't going. That might be an okay excuse if they went somewhere else. How many of you know there's a lot of churches in Logan County? Pick another one. We know what we don't agree with people. And usually we know it right off the bat. Figure out what you can agree on. About 2 months ago, I had to stand up behind the pulpit, because that makes it more serious for people. Let me get there. Now, we are not going to talk about politics. I had to say that. Why? Because it divides the heck out of people. I said, can we just all agree that we want the very best for the United States? Can we all agree with that? Because we've gotten in a society where we feel like we can't like someone if they don't agree with us. And then we take it a step further and we want to be mean to them because they don't agree with us. What I have found many times is that's a prayer blocker. What the believer needs to try to do that adds power to their life and anointing to their life is if you've got somebody that you find yourself clashing with, figure out what you can agree on. Because see, most of the time, there's some common ground up in there somewhere. Because there's power and being in agreement. So much power that the Word says if you can find another person that will stand with you in agreement and pray something that's according to the will of God, I'll do it for you. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. And this is the last set of scriptures this morning for anybody that's watching the clock. I've got like 7 more minutes. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. You know, a lot of people, they're struggling in ways that we can't see in the naked eye. And a lot of the struggle is happening on the inward man. A lot of the struggle is happening on the inward man. People are hurting in ways they can't even talk about out loud because it hurts so bad to even hear their own self say what's really going on with them. See, and the Word says that I want to strengthen you with power. He gives the specific way that He wants to strengthen His children with power. In your inner being. On the inside of you. There's many, many times where I want to be upset about something. How many of you have got at least one subject in your mind that anytime you think of it, it can get you upset because it's not exactly how you want it to be in your life? I get it, and I feel you on that so much. And I've got my one thing, and I tell it to God, God, I am upset about this today. Lord, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to push this over on you because, see, God, this is too much for me. But, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as I move this to you, as I transfer this to you, God, you're taking care of it. God, I'm going to receive the healing on the inward part. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love. There is the thing I was just telling you about. In love. Be rooted in love. Be established in love. You don't got to just be down with everybody, but you got to love everybody. May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. You know, the kind of love that God has for us, it surpasses what we can understand, what we can know. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God wants you full. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I want to tell you this morning that God's able. God's able. God is able. What is He able to do? To do more than you could ever ask or imagine. He's able. God wants you to stop asking Him for the peanuts and just ask Him for the whole thing. Stop asking God, Lord, just help me get by. No. I very humbly tell you that's not the right prayer. Ask God to make you thrive so much that you can bless 10 other families. Don't ask God to just get you by. Because see, God has a life for you that He wants you to thrive and prosper in every single way. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. You're a powerful, powerful bunch of people. I believe God wanted to remind you just how powerful that you were this morning. I love you. I'm going to be preaching this evening. a message that I'm very excited about. I wanted to preach it this morning, and God said, no, you're going to preach this morning, you're going to preach that in the evening service. And I hardly ever preach in the evening service, but I'm going to encourage you to come to it. The title of that message is going to be called In the Devil's Shoes. In the Devil's Shoes. We're always saying, put yourself in someone else's shoes. I'm going to encourage you to look and see, what would the devil try to do to mess you up? If you were the devil, what would you be doing to you? Y'all stand to your feet this morning. We have a bunch of food that we're going to give out. We'll start at it in that door right there, but what we need is about 4 to 5 minutes to get it all out. We love sending you home with food. If there's ever a time where you just are in need and you're struggling in your home with food, there's no reason to do that. We've got plenty of food for you. See Miss Sherry or I, we want to help you. God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everything that you've done. Lord, I ask you right now to help us to live this sermon out. God, and to go out of this place in power. In Jesus' name, amen.